Hey everybody, welcome to Hard Reboot. I'm Jake.
I'm Matt.
I'm Alan.
Oh shit.
You guys are so rusty.
Off to a good start.
You guys are so rusty.
I go after Jake, right?
You do. No, Matt's the rusty one. Alan, you were fine. You were in the right on this one.
I was like, this one we actually go by the sync order.
It's the only one. Everyone else
is the only one. Every other one it's flipped.
Yep.
Okay.
Well,
hi,
no,
that's Alan. I'm
PWTU,
Matt.
We do sync order if no one else is on.
If no one else is on, yeah. That is
anyway,
true.
We're back. We're hey everybody, we're back. Sometimes you know how you go away. Well, we're back now.
You know, that pandemic started and it just won't stop and I hate it. It did brain rot. Mm-hmm. But it's spooky time.
We are in Spooky Town.
Yes.
So
Spooky Town, USA.
Not to be confused with the seminal Cool Kids Table classic Spooky Town.
That
where we played Dead Teenagers.
One.
It was I think it was our second thing we did. That was a long time ago.
It was a very long time ago.
You were extremely not in the country. So we're in spooky times, as Matt said, and that means it's time for Verncraft, baby.
Heck.
Now I have something that I would like to bring up.
Uh-oh.
I have a bone to pick with Verncraft.
Oh boy.
Uh-oh.
And not necessarily Verncraft, the idea that we smash the two things together. It's just sort of the way we've done it the last two times, I believe. And that is that if we pick a Lovecraft property, we don't add any Vern into it. It is Vernless.
You're correct.
So I think we should either A, only roll for a Vern property and use that as the starter, because we can add Lovecraft to fucking anything.
To anything,
or
yeah.
we do one of both so we know what we have to combine. Because last time we did Color Out of Space. And it's just Color Out of Space. Like, there is literally not a hide nor hair of Vern in it to be found. Jules, he's gone.
I think we tried to slip some in that whatever the government agency they end up working for was going to have some weird tech, but...
What we did is we roped it into the Captain Hatteras thing.
Right.
Which was a Vern, I think?
Yes.
Is that Vern?
Yeah, Hatteras was Vern, yeah.
Okay, so we looped it into that. So that's like a little bit of... a little sprinkling of Vern on top. But yeah, but not necessarily... Vern in the sense that, you know.
Okay, now I do need to like pump the brakes on this a little bit. We've only done one Lovecraft,
which was Color Out of Space.
Everything else has been a Vern.
Has
that just shoved Lovecraft into?
I thought Hatteras was also Vern, maybe coming or was Lovecraft
Invasion
coming
of
into
the
this?
Sea was Vern.
Vern.
Invasion of the Sea is Vern.
Yep.
Yes.
Are we sure?
Very. We put a lot of Lovecraft into it.
Because when I think about it, it's just Lovecraft in there. Yeah.
Jules Verne.
The entire basic plot is Verne, and we just Lovecraft the hell out of it by putting a Dagon
because it's Invasion of the Sea.
Yeah.
Okay, well then maybe what I'm saying is that unlike last time,
if we roll a Lovecraft, we need to be more careful about putting some Vern.
We need to just be a little Vernier, you know, as the saying goes.
Is that okay? We don't have time to. Okay.
Somewhere. Look, people have said a lot of combination of words. At some point, someone must have said Vernier, and if they haven't, and I did, TM.
All right.
From the first one.
So we got 12 options. Does somebody want to roll a magic for us? By magic, I meant a dice. I don't know what's wrong with my brain.
Roll a magic.
I have an RNG generator up. I could pull out a physical dice, but they're over there.
You got 12. Do I have any? I don't have any dice within reach. I have some over there.
I have dice.
Okay.
I got a box of magic, I guess. Since that's the word I'm choosing to use, you've decided to call it. That's just my life now. All right, let's roll a d12 and see what happens. No whammy. 4. 2, 3. Oh, that's weird.
Is there no four?
No, there is. That
is
would
it
be
what
weird.
We've already done?
No. It's the purchase of the North Pole.
Another Vern.
Is this a Vern? Okay. Yep.
Which feels like a direct sequel to The Adventures of Captain Hatteras, which might get weird.
Is an adventure novel published in 1889. The third and last novel of the Baltimore Gun Club, first appearing from Earth to the Moon and later in Around the Moon, featuring the same characters but set 20 years later.
Purchase of the North Pole?
Mm-hmm. In the year 1891, an international auction is organized to define the sovereign rights to the part of the Arctic extending from the 84th parallel, the highest yet to be reached by man, to the North Pole. So it's countries bidding on buying the North Pole.
I want to buy Santa Claus.
And spoiler alert, the U.S. wins.
Well, yeah. That's where...
Is Santa Claus involved?
Is that
too low hanging fruit, or is that too horse with a space helmet?
I don't think it's either. I do think that it might kind of run anathema to the rest of Verncraft if we tie this into Hatteras, an episode I have not listened to bare minimum since it came out. I don't know if I even listened to it then, or if I was just there when we recorded it, but I couldn't tell you what entirely happens in it. So. Connecting the two might be tricky for me, personally.
I don't remember it either.
Yeah, see, so I think maybe if it's its own thing, Santa Claus is on the table, baby.
Well, and the thing is, it's not... I don't think that Hatteras is part of the Baltimore Gun Club. I think that is...
solid name for a union
separate
of people.
Thing.
It is. Baltimore Gun Club is its own thing. Hatteras was an army... explorer guy.
And this
from Britain
does get weird.
Yeah.
After
yeah,
the auction closes, the same members of the Baltimore Gun Club who 20 years earlier had traveled around the moon inside a large cannon shell, the brave gunman astronauts had come out of their retirement with an even more ambitious engineering process, using the recoil of a huge cannon to remove the tilt of Earth's axis so that it would become perpendicular to the planet's orbit like Jupiter, bringing an end to seasons.
So not actually ambitious, actively insane.
That's eco-terrorism.
As day and night would always be equal, and each place would have the same climate all year round.
12 hours
that
of night
everywhere? That is not how that works.
Is that what that is? Yeah, it doesn't even everything out. It just means that it's always cold at the north and the very south, and it gets hotter as you go to the middle everywhere.
Oh, it gets worse. Because it moves the North Pole to, like, 67 degrees latitude so that they can try to find the coal that they imagine is buried under there and mine it, because America.
Jules Verne was not American, correct?
French?
British?
I think he was French. He seems
No,
French.
It is French. It is French.
Okay. It makes sense. He'd be like, stupid Americans trying to fucking... unrotate the planet.
He had us nailed when he was just like,
he was
how
right.
does America get to the moon? They shoot a fucking
they
gun
shoot a
at
bullet
it.
At it. Yeah, like...
So the cannon,
look, that's
in
cool
fact,
as shit.
Had been dug deep into the flanks of Mount Kilimanjaro.
Wait, what?
By a small army of workers provided by a local sultan who was an enthusiastic fan of the former moon explorers. The projectile, a steel-braced chunk of rock weighing 180,000 tons, would exit the barrel at the fantastic speed of 28 kilometers per second, thanks to a new powerful explosive invented by somebody, which he had called melimelonite. It fired as planned. Explosion caused huge damage in the vicinity. However, shockingly, nothing happened to Earth, and not the slightest tremor is felt in the rest of the world.
Melimelonite is what I would is how I would say that. I don't think that's correct.
Wait, hold on. The reason it doesn't work is because some dude who was calculating the size of the cannon got hit by lightning and erased 3 zeros from the board.
Yep. Okay.
What the fuck is this story?
This is just an American hit piece. This is just going to be like those dumbasses.
Ridiculed by the whole world and bearing the bitter resentment of his two associates, J.T. Maston, goes back into retirement, vowing to never make any more mathematical calculations.
Ah, see, I will never do math again, goddammit, anyway.
Scorbit finally declares her feelings to Mastiff, and he gladly surrenders to marriage. Alcide gains worldwide recognition by revealing the cause of the failure of the operation to the public.
I also have an issue with them claiming that Mount Kilimanjaro is ruled over by a sultan.
Mount Kilimanjaro is in Africa. Yes, mm-hmm. Okay.
Pretty far from any place that would have been ruled by a sultan ever.
Well,
good job, French. Racist colonialism.
He didn't know anything. Yeah, everyone was bad.
We'll fix that.
Yeah,
we'll fix that right up.
Okay, so here's the thing. Here's a problem that we're running into right now is that we have to do a James Bond book to movie sort of situation in which the first movie is the sixth book.
Kind
of,
because
we haven't done any of the other ones, correct? I feel like I would have remembered us talking about From Earth to the Moon or whatever the other. If we talked about the Baltimore Gun Club before, I would remember. You know?
No, we have not done that one yet.
But at the same time, I feel like this is very easy to craftify because you're shooting a giant thingy like into the air. But you're causing giant damage to Mount Kilimanjaro. That just screams that you're like shooting a hole in reality or some shit.
I mean, so
we curse on this one?
Yes, all the time.
We do cusses. Yeah,
I forgot.
This is a cussing show. Yeah,
we have an explicit tag. So that's definitely one option. Is that actually we're unearthing something on Kilimanjaro? The other option is, did they know what Hatteras was going to find, and they were trying to just thaw it out?
Shoot
early.
It with a gun first.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's one answer. We're going to blow it up. The other answer is thaw it out and wake it up.
Did I feel like I got lost somewhere? What the fuck does this have to do with the North Pole?
They
bought the North Pole, and their idea was to change the tilt of the Earth so that the North Pole would melt and they could get coal.
Okay, this is.
But what if
situation.
Instead of coal, Eldritch Abomination?
Right.
What
is
if they
Santa
succeed?
Claus Cthulhu?
Yes,
we the did. We yes. did also bump Hatteras up to World War I. Which is important to note, because this will now predate that, unless we want to move it around.
I think it should stay in the same kind of time, that like let's explore the world, and then fuck everything up kind of thing. So when I say is Santa Claus Cthulhu, I mean a Cthulhu, not the Cthulhu. Is he an Eldritch Abomination? And answer is probably, yeah.
Well, have we used
Santa Claus before in this? I doubt it.
No, is it Yogg-Sothoth that's the gate? The one with the many eyes?
I think we had this exact conversation with Hatteras.
I think Yogg-Sothoth does feature into Hatteras. I know Nyarlathotep is sort of our, like...
evil. He's like an evil Nick Fury, almost.
He's like evil Nick... He's like if the Joker was like a fucking... goat monster man, you know, like he like any because he like can change shape and like be anyone he wants to be, and so we kind of like, you know, boop him around where he needs to be. I'm worried. What I think we should do for our sake is don't worry about anything else we've done in the past. It's just keep it set, and then maybe next year we just try to like put everything together, right? We just try to see, like, how we can fit everything. Because, like, Invasion of the Sea had people from...
Journey to the Center of the Earth.
Journey to the Center of the Earth. And, like, Hatteras had stuff, had things that connected. And I haven't listened to any of that shit in a year minimum. So, and again, this is the only show I ever re-listen to that I do. Outside of... I do Cool Kids Table, too. But again, Alan edits that. So I don't anything I edit I don't listen to again. I don't know anything. I don't remember what we did in detail. I would not be satisfying, I think, to try to connect it. So what if we just try to make a new thing?
Okay.
See how that goes.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we do this? Because I think this will actually give us a real easy way to plug it in next year. Is eventually we'll reveal that the Baltimore Gun. Are they the heroes or the villains?
Well, that's kind of my question. Is
Yeah, I think that's the book's question too.
Also,
no, the book is unambiguous. They are the good guys. Right. They're the heroes.
Yeah, but I think if you're looking at the book, yeah.
Yeah.
But my question is, do we change it and flip the script and they are successful?
Ooh.
If it takes place before and we do try to like wrap this into other stuff, like at some point being like, oh, by the way, the North Pole is actually where Cleveland used to be. Like, I don't know. I feel like that would be.
See, what I'm thinking is the North Pole is largely a front.
Okay.
And
we didn't go straight to the North Pole with Hatteras, did we?
We got there.
Okay.
I don't think it was the North Pole proper. I don't remember that.
It was
like
the Arctic, though, right?
Yeah,
we did go. Okay.
But what I'm thinking is, if this is an option, if the North Pole is just a front where they're just like, yeah, we're gonna move the axial tilt of a whole planet with a real big gun, and they're actually just up to shit at Kilimanjaro.
I had a thought.
Yes, please.
What if they still fail, but their screw up? This is a prequel to everything. This happens first.
We're mementoing our way through the Vernecraft. Yeah.
But there is a being called Magnum Innominendum, or the Nameless Mist. The Nameless Mist is the progenitor of Asphothoth, Nyarlathotep, Yog-Sothoth, Cthulhu. What if the bullet on Kilimanjaro releases the Nameless Mist? And that's what starts the Eldritch invasion.
So like Kilimanjaro is its prison.
Right. It's a hellmouth.
Another one. I like it. Oh, okay. We need to figure out if the Baltimore Gun Club is a good guy or a bad guy. We got to nail that down because so much.
Okay, before we do that, I have another question that I think we need to like get out of the way. Sure, that is, I almost as like important as are they the good guys or the bad guys? Because I love the name is Toit. I love the Baltimore Gun Club, and I like if they become this like underground, like we fucked up real bad. We need to like fix our mistakes kind of thing. Like in the future, I think that could work into everything else, you know. But here's okay. This is like the second or third book of the Baltimore Gun Club, but it's our first one. Third?
Yeah.
It's the third and final.
Okay. So are we doing them backwards then? Like what's – because like if you – I know that he said like we went to the moon and then like now we're going to move the earth around. But I still feel like going to the moon is like a bigger accomplishment than that, you know? So like if we make this a trilogy – do we go here and then the next one is we go to the moon and then the next one is like around the moon? Like why? Like what's the difference?
So let's...
Jules, what are you doing, man? Like, what is the plan here?
I mean...
So from the Earth to the moon and then it's around the moon.
Yeah.
So from the Earth to the moon, a direct route in 97 hours, 20 minutes. And then around the moon, which is also translated as circling the moon.
Well,
okay, so
orbits. I mean,
having the first line of around the moon, having been fired out of a giant Columbia space gun, the Baltimore Gun Club's bullet-shaped projectile, along with its three passengers, Barbicane, Nicole, and Michael Arden, begin their five-trip day to the moon.
So, is that Earth to the moon, or was that around the moon that you were just
reading?
That's
around the moon.
So, but they already went to the moon, and now they're like, what if we go, what if we do a lap around it? Like, how is this the order of things in, Jules?
So, a few minutes into the journey, a small, bright asteroid passes within a few hundred yards of them, but does not collide with the projectile. The asteroid has been captured by the Earth's gravity and had become a second moon.
I mean, that's not wrong. We do technically have a second moon. It's just a... Anyway, the typical actual civilization evolution thing does say dink around in local space, then
go to moons. Yeah.
Stellar engineering. So we're but technically like, on the right course.
I feel like this is literally backwards from how the trilogy should go. Like, I feel like you should fuck around on Earth, then you should do a lap around the moon just to check it out, and then you should actually go there. But they went the other way, which is so much less impressive to me. Also, apparently around the moon and trip to the like Earth to the Earth to the moon is the basis for George Millet's trip to the moon.
Yeah.
Which is like a hugely important in cinema history.
If it makes you feel better, from the Earth to the moon ends with the projectile being launched. So it's all about how do they get to the moon.
So maybe we condense that into one property later.
Okay.
Right.
The first obstacle, enough money to construct the giant cannon, and against which Nickel has bet $1,000, is raised from a number of countries in America and Europe. Notably, the U.S. donates $4 million, whilst England at first does not give anything.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, fuck you, England, especially. Yeah.
And Stones Hill in Tampa Town, Florida, is chosen as the site for the cannon's construction.
Now maybe Tampa, because there's Tampa and there's Tampa Bay. They are two different towns. Maybe Tampa used to be called Tampa Town. Probably. Maybe Tampa Bay used to be Tampa Town. And they're like, but there's a bay here. That's a more impressive geological
feature
than just it being a town. Anyway, so next time we go to the moon, maybe that's their sequel, is we do it in reverse order.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
So now, is Baltimore Gun Club good guys or bad guys?
If we're going to give them a sequel, I think overall they're good guys. I think one of them is a bad guy because I think one of them's going to get a little possessed.
Well, either one of them's a bad guy or they're just very stupid.
Porque no los dos.
I think we have gotten a lot of meat off of the stupid and bad bone on this show.
It's a common trend, really.
Look at Elon Musk. He's bad and also stupid and rich. So, what if we're doing the thing with the mist? What was the guy called? What was Misty Man called?
The Nameless Mist. Magnum Innominendum.
That is a name. Harold. If that is like the progenitor of...
Its powers include possible omnipresence, reality warping...
Who knows?
...acausality, space-time manipulation, immortality, and incorporeality.
Yeah, he's a mist.
That's a whole thing.
Yeah. Okay, so, but if that's the progenitor of, like, the, kind of, like, the, like, that's, like, the Kronos to the, you know, the pantheon of the more important,
right, this thing is what gives birth to Cthulhu, Yog-Sothoth, like, even Nyarlathotep, the ones that you think of, this is the parent.
The papa of them, okay.
Well, the
parent. Yeah, yes, I guess you were right. That's the parent. Yeah,
because it's just a misty, gross thing.
But those things have also existed forever, so we can't just be like, and now they ripped open that thing. Now it's here. So maybe like it's a different sort of summons.
Or maybe like once it gets free, like its children sense it and start coming.
This is again another problem with having not listened to any of the past ones is I know that we were like, this thing wakes up this, like Journey to the Center of the Earth wakes up Cthulhu. The Captain Hatteras woke up maybe Yog-Sothoth. I don't really remember. I know there was like a lot of things that we do to that. So I don't know if we can say like it wakes it up, but maybe since I don't think we have a what's it called for Nyarlathotep. What if the actor, whomever that plays Nyarlathotep like first is one of, I just actually opened it, Chrome. All right. We're in Zoom window. Is the same actor who plays one of the characters who gets like possessed by Nyarlathotep when the mist mountain gets him.
Okay. So are you thinking that both Nyarlathotep and the Nameless Mist are imprisoned here, or are all of them imprisoned here?
I think just the mist is, but maybe we like play around with it, and that like the mist isn't necessarily the Mist from the, like, we reboot it to be a new thing.
Okay.
Because, like, because I know we have all of these people already in play, and the only one that I know that we have as, like, already out in the world doing stuff is Nyarlathotep. Oh, but I
was wrong.
I don't remember anything.
Nyarlathotep is a sibling.
It's okay.
So what could be interesting? Well, what could be interesting is Nyarlathotep found out where its sibling was, and convinced these goobers to set it free.
We need to put some sort of actually appropriate to Africa ruler in place.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Oh, yes.
So okay,
there's going to be, it's going to be treated a lot more.
Right. Yeah.
Carefully, but I think having the Baltimore Gun Club be two American idiots, and based on this, it's around the time of the Civil War, is kind of the time. Obviously, we don't have to stick to that, but originally, it could be two hapless Americans, well, three hapless Americans, and then one of them gets taken over by Nyarlathotep and is like, hey guys, hey. You want to build a big old gun?
Okay,
You want to put it on a mountain?
You want to shoot the moon with a bullet?
You want to shoot the moon?
I feel like we are hewing too close to the stone here, and we're trying to, like, retell instead of reboot. I feel like we're not getting close enough to the reboot.
Yeah, let's
part of our, you know. And, like, I get it, because that's what we do with a lot of the Verncraft ones, but I just don't feel like this story is good enough to be its own thing, even,
yeah,
you know, because, like,
okay,
what the fuck does the North Pole have to do with it if we're not even going there,
coal.
You know? Then, but, like, it's because, like, the North Pole,
well,
if
we
ignore
it
as a red herring,
don't
then,
we?
Like,
yeah,
but, like, how does, so, I mean, look, I'm fine with that, but, like, if I go to a movie called Purchase of the North Pole, and the first thing they do is go, that's psych,
so,
then, like,
I think,
I'm gonna be mad.
I don't know. Do we want to just condense the trilogy into one thing? So yes, we are using Purchase from the North Pole, like
that,
or of the North Pole. That's what we rolled, but it's actually the entire Baltimore trilogy in one movie.
Yeah, I mean, that
might and we
be
just
at least
ignore the North Pole thing,
because then we could just have it not be at Tampa. They launch from Kilimanjaro.
They launch to the moon from Kilimanjaro.
We tighten
it. Yeah.
I think, like, I'm actually okay with that.
I think I like that too. Like, I saw Dune last night, and there's sand everywhere in that movie. And, like,
I want to see it, but I've heard
so
very disappointing things.
No, it's really good. I don't know what you would be disappointed by.
hey, Alan, it is literally the first half of the book. Like,
I'm happy.
Yeah, and it, like, everyone's who's like, there's no character development in the first half of
the book.
It
had me at, what is in the box? Pain. Like, that is just line for line.
They do.
Thank you.
They do a very good job of hewing very close to the book.
I haven't read the book.
I read it like every other year.
You would hate it, but I think
you would hate
read
it. It is super politic heavy.
It made me want to read it. Well, I like Game of Thrones for that reason too. Like, you know, I only play dumb on TV. But, like, I haven't read the book, and I thought the movie was great. And I have seen the other Dune, and I like it because it's bad. Like, it's dumb and bad. Because David Lynch is like,
bad.
I don't think I can make this movie. Let's just see what we do anyway.
Let's just see what happens.
Like, the first thing that happens is there's, like, 16 paragraphs on the screen of them explaining Dune to you. So
with
you
a bad voiceover. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. This one's really good, apparently, because I went with my friend Layton, and according to him, like, a lot of the, like inner monologue stuff is just told through, like, visions that Paul has
a little bit. Yeah.
Which worked for me. Also the fact that his name is Paul is stupid as shit. What's dumber is Duncan Idaho. What's up? I'm strongest man in the universe. Duncan
Idaho.
Hey Jake.
They clone him. I know he comes back.
Duncan Idaho
is the
most important person in the world.
I know.
I've heard that. It's weird.
I've heard that. His name's Duncan Idaho. You know where they make potatoes and nothing else?
Hey, Paul's kid turns into a worm. I don't know what to tell you about this series, man.
Who turns into a worm?
Paul's kid.
He doesn't even exist yet, as far as I know. So, like, that's
Don't worry. He's going to be a worm for a little bit.
Anyway, the movie's beautiful. Denis Villeneuve is a great director. Like, you couldn't pay me to watch a Blade Runner movie, but everything else of his I will watch.
2049 is fucking gorgeous.
The problem is it's a sequel to Blade Runner, which fucking sucks, actually.
Just go rewatch the Movies with Mikey 20-year sequel video, and you'll be fine.
Did I watch that? I feel like I wouldn't watch that one. I like everything I saw about it. I was like, oh, it looks pretty. It's Blade Runner, which is the most boring movie I've ever seen in my entire life. So, and I've seen every single cut of it. Don't come at me with, you didn't do the right one. I tried. I fucking tried for weeks to watch a good Blade Runner, and it just didn't exist back in 2008. Anyway.
All right. So we're doing all three of them. We're going to moon now.
So this movie is now called The Baltimore Gun Club.
Yeah, yes, for sure.
Because that's way cooler than anything else. Okay.
Okay.
Good.
Okay.
Glad we're there.
I have a wild idea. So, I don't think the thing trapped in Kilimanjaro is Nyarlathotep. I think we just leave him mysterious. He's already out in the world. He has been for who cares how long.
Well, right. The mist is what's under Kilimanjaro.
Right. So, they're two separate things. Because we had mentioned at one point that we might blend them into one thing. Whatever. Two separate things.
Mm-hmm.
I think Nyarlathotep hates his brother, and it's just like,
that's what I was gonna
it's
say.
It's too early. I'm gonna put you in one of these chuckle fuck humans and shoot you to the moon.
Because, well,
bye.
That's, I like that, actually. I like that a lot. So, because what I was gonna say is, from my recollection, which is, you know, take it or leave it, every time Nyarlathotep shows up in our Verncraft series, he's always this weird spanner in the works that, like, is helping our heroes, and then, like, there's one thing, like, maybe he's not helping, but, like, it's always, like, he's on his side. Or
right.
I guess it's on its side, because it's, you know, it can shapeshift, it can
it's
be
unknowable.
Anything. Yeah, it's Nyarlathotep. I kind of like the end game of Nyarlathotep being, like, I don't want any of my fucking relatives to come back. Like, they all want to just, I want, like, do you remember in season 2 of Buffy?
Yeah, this when is exactly Angel's, how we defined him last
when,
time.
Yeah, when Angel's like, I want to destroy the world. And he's like, and Spike's like, I live on the world, and this is where people are, and that's how I eat. And, like, I like that. So I don't want to destroy the world. I'll help you, Buffy. What if that is Nyarlathotep? Like, just that's like the whole motivation is like, every time it seems like I'm doing something sinister, it's in the service of a worse thing not happening.
So I like that. I have an issue with the idea of the Nameless Mist being put in a person.
Oh, that was just a spitball, so.
Okay, because it doesn't, at least based on what I know of it, it just does not fit. Like, maybe it's a jewel or some sort of ritualistic container.
Well, so here's my counter to that, Alan, is that you can breathe in mist. You can't breathe in rocks.
True, but,
you know,
my thought also was, if we turn him into mist and have him take over or maybe even replace a person, that could be interesting.
No,
then we basically get that Apollo 18 horror movie again, but we can do it well.
Is that the one where they're like, oh, there's something up here?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's actually my pitch for the moon landing was faked. Is that if you want to believe the moon landing is faked, then you have to believe that it was cleanup for a moon landing that you didn't hear about. That's the only way I will accept that.
And that it is monsters, yes.
Yeah, there's something's up there and we shouldn't go back. Let's try to remedy this. So I don't know if it should possess a person either. I think that might be a little too easy, but like, what if they just like, what if Nyarlathotep just like, I just put this thing in your spaceship and we're going to shoot it. It is the mist.
Well, and I guess that's my issue. Is this thing is the thing that created Cthulhu?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to be trapped in a human body. Like, not a thing that it would allow itself to happen.
Okay.
So here's the thing about that, though, is that, like, and, like, I agree to an extent, but, like, that could be the, like, the weird caveat to it, right? Is that, like, This thing is super powerful. It like it spawned all of the worst Eldritch abominations you've ever heard of. You can just plug it in a person, but there weren't any of that back then, so it just ran amok. But like Nyarlathotep knows that it can do that. I also don't know if we should put it in a person or if it, like
I have an idea.
Matt's doing a but he's doing
yeah,
a
that's
wiggle.
A that's an ideal face.
Yeah. I also have one. I'm just gonna hold on to
okay,
it.
Okay, okay, sorry,
right
sorry. Let me it doesn't
no,
go
no,
in
yeah,
a
you
person.
Can do yours.
They're when they're building the bullet that gets shot out of this stupid cannon, Nyarlathotep puts a thing into like a secret compartment on it, and it's basically the mist but crystallized through magic or whatever. So when it gets fired out, the thing like shatters, and as it starts to like melt or the magic breaks, suddenly they're having to deal with the actual mist in their bullet pod.
I like that because also if and I love how we pronounce his name differently every single time. Don't come at me.
It's a word made up by a racist. I don't care how it's pronounced.
So I like the fact that Nyarlathotep knows that. And so when it breaks, the reason the bullet has to go so fast is the mist can't, in its incorporeal form, the mist can't break free. It's going too fast. Like, the vacuum of the air is constraining it too much, and so it's, like, wrapped around the bullet as it's being launched into space.
Right. What I was thinking is that, like, it's mist. It does not have a corporeal form, so if it wants to affect the world, it needs to possess a person, you know? Mm-hmm. And then maybe by doing that, Nyarlathotep can be like, oh, you possess someone, and I stuck a sticker on him, and now you can't get out. You know, so like
that could be interesting. Like the person has a tattoo or something that's very fresh and very new,
or just some mark that like, you know, like pats them on the back. And then like they have a weird thing there that no one sees because they're in fucking spacesuits, you know. I here's my dumb idea, because like the mist is just a thing that we just added. Right. Because that's the craft part of the vert craft that we just dropped in this. It doesn't have to come from Kilimanjaro. What if Nyarlathotep just wants to shoot the fucking moon with a bullet? Because like that's where the mist is.
Oh, oh!
It wants to crack the moon like an egg.
It just wants to shoot the moon with a bullet. Because in Trip to the Moon, if you have seen, I mean, everyone on the planet Earth, I'm sure, has seen the like moon faced guy with the big thing in his eye.
Yeah,
like that's Trip to the Moon by Georges Méliès, which is based on this. And they go out, and there's, like, weird moon mer people, and it's a silent movie, so there's, you know, there's only so much you can do about it. But, like, what if, and the, like, you know, there's a lot of ways you could do this. If the thing on the front, like, the very tip is, like, the crystallized version of the mist, and so when they shoot it, it hits the moon, and that can kill it, maybe, but it doesn't. Now it's trapped on the moon. Oh, I'm losing power. What's going on, bud?
Oh, that was exciting.
That was weird. I'm on a backup battery, so I'm okay, but I seem to still be on the internet.
You do?
So, mm-hmm. I don't know, that was strange. So these are just some ideas, because like, the mist seems to be tripping us up a lot, and it was something made up for it, or we added that it doesn't need to trip us up this much.
And I like that, because I think our version of Nyarlathotep is not omniscient. Like, it knows what it knows, and it has a vast history of knowledge. Like, it is incredibly intelligent. But it doesn't know everything, and it cannot see the future.
Right.
So it shoots the bullet. It's like, ha-ha, job is done. I am the best. Okay, great. And he
leaves. Fuck my brother.
Fuck sibling. You suck. Except that sibling is now on the moon, which is acting as a beacon to all the other Eldritch horrors.
See, that's the part I get that I'm getting caught up on is they're already asleep everywhere. I think isn't that like the conceit is that like if they're not asleep, they're you know, Earth is this weird nexus, you know,
kind of
like...
yeah. What? Okay, wait, hold on. We can tie this into Hatteras. So the Hatteras ended with like this big old portal and like major ritual thing going off, and they stopped it just in time by making an actual volcano explode. But, like, we saw Yogg-Sothoth, I think, in coming out of that for a second. But, like, future people fixed it. Well, future thems fixed it. What if part of that, because we haven't made any of these, we can fix them retroactively now.
That's what I'm saying for next season. Is we try, next Verncraft is we just like take all the things, we re-listen to all of them, and then like see what actually connects and what doesn't. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what if the one fix that we do this year is part of that ritual thing was we directly steal from the first Hellboy movie, and the moon is a portal.
The moon was a portal in the first Hellboy movie?
Yeah, they like shot a space laser thing at it.
So what I'm hearing is that the moon is Kingdom Hearts. I'm in.
No crossovers, ban.
I mean, there's a keyboard.
We are doing a crossover, Jake. That is what this is.
But not, we cannot, based on how long it took them to get Sora into Smash, we cannot afford the licensing for this.
Not on your life.
Those mouse ears cost more than everything else in Smash.
Also, and this is very important, Kingdom Hearts is not public domain. Not even a little
also
bit.
Also that.
So,
Tanner can have fun with that one on their podcast.
That's not a Fire Boot Use First problem.
But Moon into Portal, because now the mist is there, making it ready for that. Like, the mist gets up there and it's just like, oh, you gave me, like, a massive celestial reflecting dish?
Right.
Ooh, I do like that. That moonlight now has become something different.
So, okay, this is my fault for having not read this book and have seen Trip to the Moon.
Yeah, go ahead.
Where, like, there's like weird mer people up. There's like moon people up there, and they like have a little party and then they leave.
Do
right?
we want to do that?
I keep being like, well, yeah, but there's people up there, so like, what do we do about that? But that's in Trip to the Moon, which is also public domain, by the way. But like,
yeah,
so it's like on the table. But
that's like, the post credit scene.
That is, but like, so then it's just. So, okay, but okay.
Aren't cats
maybe,
on the
maybe
moon?
Maybe this is my problem.
In Lovecraft? Isn't that
is
where
what?
The cats live?
No, cats live in Uthar, in like the other world.
Oh, in the dream world. Okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. in the dream world. And they live all over the place, but if you kill one in like Uthar or whatever it's called, then like you will die. Like that's the
Don't
the
fuck with cats, man.
Yeah, don't fuck with cats there. We haven't. Yeah, we've barely touched all like the dreamscape world shit.
We have not at all.
His best stuff in a walk.
Yeah.
Structure wise, like, setup, conflict resolution.
Right? Hey, I have a thing for this. If you would like it, if you want to pull in moon mer people,
you just Google Lovecraft Moon.
I went to the Lovecraft Wiki and searched Moon, and the top result is Moon Beasts from the Dreamland version of the Moon.
Mmm.
Okay.
So maybe the mist starts making the dream and reality, like, it starts blending them?
Okay, what about this? Okay, because structure-wise, like, setup, conflict, resolution. Setup is, we're going to go to the moon.
Right.
We bought the North Pole, but that's just a front, and so we're just going to mention it and not worry about it. We're going to use Mount Kilimanjaro, a very sturdy, big rock, as the base of, as basically the hammer to shoot this bullet at the moon, because Nyarlathotep, who put up $4 million to send them there, is doing it, right? They go to the moon, but secretly, asterisk, I did put the Nameless Mist, my mm-hmm. shitty sibling, who I hate, in there, and it's going to hit the moon, and it's going to be stuck on the moon, it'll be fine. But, SpaghettiOs, you hit the moon, he's like, I can use this as, like, a portal to power. But, what if Nyarlathotep is like, yeah, I know, but it also is going to hit so hard it's going to rip a hole to the other moon, and you're going to get trapped in the dream world, and then you're I can deal with you there.
I love it. So our people are actually, like, the Baltimore Gun Club is basically stranded in the dream world now.
So they hit the moon so hard that they rip a hole in dream
that they
space,
shatter.
And they just go right to the other one. And she's like, oh, shit, we're on the moon. They look down at the
They're
Earth
on the dark side of the moon.
they could be on the light, because I like the idea of them looking at the Earth and being like, oh, there's the Earth. But, like, we've seen pictures of the Earth from space. They have not. We will know that that's not the geography that Earth has, right? Like, it's dream world geography.
I meant a metaphorical dark side of the moon, not a literal dark side of the moon.
Yeah. Not the actual area that it,
A Freudian dark side of the moon,
Right. And because I feel like there needs to be something in between the two, right, where they hit the moon and then the mist comes out, and maybe the mist possesses someone's like, I'm going to use the mist to do stuff. And then, like, they fall into it. I don't know how this is, like, a resolution. Like, we need, like, I don't know how this is, like, we get to somewhere.
I don't think we do. Well, I think we do, but I don't think it's a happy ending. I don't think it's...
I think this should be part one of the Baltimore Gun Club
Endgame
movies, whatever they are called. Yeah.
So, right. So this is...
I think I actually have an answer for this. One, to kind of further the plot and to conclude things, I don't think we get everybody back. So I think what we have is we basically have a couple of escape pods built into the bullet. And like one or two members of the gun club get home using those. And the other one stuck in the dreamscape.
What? Okay.
Them all being stuck.
I think they all should be stuck. So what if instead of escape pods... there's like they have like escape pods, but they realize that they can use it as explosives.
Ah.
And their plan is like, okay, it possessed Nickel or whichever one is the bad one. I don't like, you know, whichever one we decide. I don't remember their names besides Nickel because it's the only one I read. There's like Bergedrim, Burgundy, Bergenstocks,
Barcabe,
Barcabe, and then like Flufurin.
Mastin was one of them.
That I thought that was a different guy, but maybe you're right.
Let me see.
Baltimore Gun Club. Barbicane. Captain Nickel. Someone named Michael Arden.
And Mastin? Is that?
I think Mastin shows up just for the last one.
We can just put him in here, though. Like, we can just, you know. Because there should be, like, four or five people that go there. But anyway, so somebody.
Impey Barbicane.
Yeah.
The first name is Impey.
Impey. That's pig Latin for pimp.
It's spelled, where was it? I-M-P-E-Y, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still...
Yeah.
Or maybe it's pig Latin for pimp. Because it's not Impey. It's Impey, which is pimp. So maybe Barbicane gets... That's a bad guy name.
It really is.
Maybe he gets possessed. And then like maybe he has a, or maybe they all have the tattoo and they don't realize it. It's just like, I didn't know which one he was gonna jump into, so like I just made sure he couldn't get out of any of you.
Well, and maybe it has become the symbol of the Baltimore Gun Club. Like he's gone.
Oh, I like that. Yeah,
they've all gotten the tattoo in solidarity. Ooh. But it's actually a rune.
Or they don't have a tattoo. It's just on their spacesuit. So at some point, like Barbicane gets out. But the thing is still trapped in the spacesuit.
That's creepier, and I like it.
Right? It's just like empty. Maybe there's not even a head on it. It's just like it can't get out of the spacesuit. It's just stuck in the suit. So it has this physical form. And like on the, it's, you know, it's sort of like the thing, but not like one of us could be it, or we could go that way if we want to. But it's like a, there's a bad guy and we're trapped somewhere. And maybe they're like, we can't let this thing get back to Earth. We can't let it use the moon. We need to blow up the bullet, like the way we get back is we were gonna, like, it has a rocket that, you know, we can flip around or something, you know, like it would skid off and we could steer it or whatever. But they just like, if we plug it, it'll just blow up like a bomb. We just get that thing on there and that'll happen. The big finale is like, all right, it's been an honor being astronaut gun boys with you. Thing blows up. Like, screen goes white. They, like, all close their eyes. Screen comes back. Nothing happens. Looks like they're still on the moon. They look at Earth. They're like, well, that's still Earth. But to us, it's like, that's not the globe that we know, because we know what Earth from space looks like. And then they turn around, and there's, like, a moon kingdom, and they're on the dark side of the moon. And that's where we put the mer people, and then the moon beasts are problems they got to deal with. That's the sequel. That's part two. That's Baltimore Gun Club 2.
And they're trying to get back into the real world from the dream, which allows us to introduce even more Lovecraftian grossness.
Yeah. And then we, or like maybe they maybe they're like we can't get. Maybe they're like, oh, this will bring us back, and they go back to Earth, and they're like, this is not our Earth.
Or Freddy Krueger.
Not public domain, Alan. We have very strict rules on this show.
I know it's been a minute, but...
Look, I had to say it.
Yeah, sure. It's the spooky season. We get it. This also lets us, any future episode of this show where someone like in the Color Out of Space long-running TV show... that becomes, if any of them go to the dream world, the moon can be there with a rocket sticking out of it.
There's just a big
and
bullet.
And that's
stuck
hilarious.
In. Yeah, I like that idea. And like, you know, whenever we see the moon in like earlier, like if this comes later, like we film it later, obviously, because it's like a prequel. Right. Like every time you see the moon, there's like this weird scar on it that there's just mm-hmm. nothing there. It's like, that's not how the moon looks.
It's
but,
the,
you know,
it's the
like,
Scott Pilgrim trick where well, the moon has a big crater in it and you don't learn out why till the second boyfriend.
Yeah.
Well, and I like the fact that it basically makes the moon permanently unable to be full. So like it almost looks like a quarter moon or something, but like you can't have a full moon anymore.
Even if it's full, there's just like this
there's
divot.
A massive darkness. Yeah.
Which is why Hatteras was able to Hatteras and friends close that portal.
Because they broke the moon. Yeah. And this is all part of Nyarlathotep's plan.
It's all connected.
I like that. Because then I like the idea of like, oh, we're in a new moon kingdom? Like, what the fuck? And then, like, maybe this is just on the moon. They, you know, and they're like, oh, no. Like, the entire time they think, like, this was just over there and we didn't see it before. But, or, like, maybe we unearthed it or something. And then they, like, get their rocket working. Like, the, you know, they get back to Earth and they're like, they land in fucking Ulthar where you cannot kill a cat or whatever. And then we can just start, we can do dreamscape stuff.
Heck,
but it just opens up all the dream world stuff from there.
Yeah.
This seems like a very, I assume movie, right? We didn't specify a medium, but this feels like a movie.
This seems movie-ish.
Yes,
to me.
It does seem like a movie.
Well, cool, hot diggity. That's about, we're coming up on the hour mark, boys.
Coming
I think
up.
We did a job.
I think we did it.
So
Baron Zemo, we did it.
So
and it's called the Baltimore Gun Club.
Yeah.
That's the name of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, probably it's when it gets the DVD release, it's probably called Baltimore Gun Club : Earth to the Moon. And then like future ones will be like Baltimore Gun Club
: Moon to the Earth.
Moon to the it will retroactively have a subtitle so that they all line up nicely on the shelf.
Or we just put numerals. We just you know, 1, 2, you know. Yeah.
Volume 1.
Yeah.
So you
fancy.
Y'all already heard our Vice sequel episode earlier this month.
Not a lot earlier, Matt.
Shut up.
There's not a lot of October yet.
Shut up.
Left.
It might have been earlier this week. Whatever.
Recently.
It was a fun episode to do.
It was.
And next week you're getting a twofer on episodes.
Next month. Next week. That would be bananas for you.
Well, I mean... technically, when this episode comes out, it will be next week.
Next week will be November. Yeah.
Yikes! Where did 2021 go? In the toilet where it belongs.
The turtle is where it went.
In November, you're getting the Most Dangerous Game sequel. And, Jake, do you want to tell them what you finally decided on?
Yeah, so I was going to be real coy about it, but then we decided we're going to record both of them at once, so I had to pick so we could listen to the other one. And it was between a couple things. I flipped a coin. And the coin said Dracula. So we're doing a sequel to Dracula Knox.
Heck, yes.
I don't have any. I had to re-listen to the episode, which is
Dracula 2 Back
today.
In the Habit.
Dracula dead and loving it again. Still loving it. That might also
Dracula definitely not 2000, which we talked about at length in the last episode.
Because I have a weird soft spot for that stupid movie.
Like the Judas twist, it's so stupid but so good.
It makes so much sense though. Like I hate that it does.
I hate that it makes so much sense.
Also, in Blade Trinity, I think Dracula was in it, played by Dominic Purcell, a guy who cannot act. So that's fun. So,
Blade Trinity is kind of a toilet fire of a movie anyways.
But it does have Parker Posey in it, so I do like it. I can't help myself.
Well,
I'm a simple man.
So you can expect that next month, and then we'll be back on to our regularly scheduled nonsense.
Our ongoings.
Of the ongoings.
Yeah. So...
There were murmurs that we were putting some of them on hiatuses. Are we doing that? Did we?
I mean, well, okay, so we...
Because you and I both thought we were going to do that, and then we both decided not. Nah.
Well, and I think all three of us did, and you know, one way or another. So we'll talk about that off mic. We'll, you know, we got a whole month to figure that out. So,
so one way or another, we'll be back with Alan's piloted ongoing in December, and we'll move on from there.
Yep.
Go us.
And hopefully... there'll be one a month, and nothing will happen again. We'll be fine.
From your mouth to God's ears, Jake.
I want to believe you, but I can't.
Well, I'm a dreamer, so I can believe enough for all three of us.
Good. All right. Well, that ended sadly. So, till next time, I've been Matt.
I've been Jake.
And I've been Alan.
Just do the fucking thing. Just do it. Do the goddamn thing.
And you've been rebooted.
Aw, that was nice.
I feel like that was pointed.
Bye.
It was nice, but I feel like it was spiteful in a way. You know.
Bye.
I mean?
Hey, thanks for listening to Hard Reboot. You can find us on Twitter at Rebootcast or email us at hardreboot@fitzdraw.com. Alan's on Twitter at Alan_Sells. Matt is at Matt Hoadley, and I am at JJ_Mason. Thanks for listening.
Hard Reboot is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. For more information, please visit creativecommons.org.